Hi, I'm Jen Sherlock, and welcome to my lifestyle podcast, Live Without a Net. The podcast showcases people who live fearlessly and have the ambition to create something. I'll showcase change makers who have decided to let go of their safety net in order to survive. So let's jump right in. Hi, I'm Jen Sherlock. Welcome to my podcast, Live Without a Net. And I have an awesome guest with me today. His name is Dr. Joel Chertok. Welcome to the show.
Welcome. Very happy to be here.
Yeah, I've known you for probably, I would guess, like 3 to 5 years from Jersey Man magazine.
That's correct.
Yeah. You're always such a pleasure to talk to and learn about. And I find it inspiring that you're always out hustling and networking. So I wanted to find a little bit more about your story. And after reading your questionnaire, I saw that you, I think, were laid off when you were 65. Is that correct?
Yeah, I was laid off. Well, I've made a career being laid off every 5 to 8 years. And that is just the nature of being an engineer these days. The era of a 30-year veteran is long gone. So you're pretty much an expendable commodity.
Yeah.
So you've got to get used to it. Land on your feet and proceed on to the next opportunity.
For sure. I was laid off in 2009 during that recession. And then from there, I started this company, but I didn't mean to. It was, you know, I thought I would go back to a job and then it just kind of kept going. So any of my friends that have been laid off, I always tell them it's usually because something better is coming along.
Well, that's been my experience. I mean, as I wrote, I did not plan to be a consultant. My master plan was to work at my job till I was 72 and maximize my Social Security and then retire. And I was knocked out at 65 and a half. And I said, well, I guess I'll find a new job. But as I said, I was told by my life coach at that point, no one's going to hire a boomer to replace a boomer. It's just not going to happen. So you need to find something else. So I spent about 3 to 6 months, sort of, I wouldn't call it drifting, although that's what it probably was. I thought about franchising. I thought about maybe going into a painting franchise, going into this thing, going into that thing. And I said, you know, I might as well realize I'm going to have to look out for myself. I formed my own consulting business in 2014 and never looked back.
So what kind of projects do you work on in engineering? I know there's so many different fields in engineering, for example.
Well, I'm a chemical engineer by training, so I typically work with chemical companies, materials companies, biotech companies, but I'm looking for three different subsets. I work with startup companies that are first getting started, and they have lab processes. They can make 20, 30 grams of something, whatever that something happens to be. And then they have a customer, and the customer says, hey, I this is great stuff. I need 5 drums for a plant trial. And of course, you have no idea what you're doing. You have beakers. So my consultancy, I come in, I say, okay, let's try and translate your process into a real pilot plant, you know, and start cranking out those 5 drums. And if a customer likes it, we'll get you full commercial production. Or I'll go into a company that's already established, has been in business for, you know, 20, 30, 40 years, and their process doesn't work anymore. Basically, you know, they're making money, but not enough. And it's always problems and problems and problems. And I will come in and audit their process and say, well, here's your issues. You got, you know, bad reaction train, bad catalyst, bad distillation. Let's work on that and see if we can unplug you. And the third thing, which is a little more unusual, I'm a chemical engineer who can actually write English and I enjoy writing. So I'll work with advertising agencies, marketing agencies, even companies themselves, to write white papers. A lot of companies like white papers, which are really advertisements under a different name. And they'll say, hey, can you write me a white paper on XYZ? And I'll crank out like a 6-page white paper. So I've worked for Chemours. They wanted something on Teflon. I worked for a commercial company that wanted something on demisters. I worked with another company, Fermentation. I just got finished writing a 26-page book on the hydrogen economy. So
the what of the economy?
The hydrogen economy.
Oh, interesting. I don't know enough about that.
Fuel cells and how they're going to affect transportation.
Interesting.
So that's my third leg. So 3 different legs.
No, that's great. So the white papers would be just to give a company credibility, or do they charge for those downloads?
Typically, they're free. I mean, they're advertising under a different name.
Okay. And tell us about like the different companies you worked with before you started out on your own.
Well, I started off working for Union Carbide, New Jersey, in their R&D department in 1975. And I liked it. You know, a lot of people say, boy, I can't stand working with somebody else. I want to work on my own, blah, 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 blah. Never had a problem. I never had a problem working with somebody else. I was in the specialty chemicals department, did a lot of R&D in chemical plants, basically going to the chemical plant and figure out why they're not working the way they're supposed to, or getting a new process and fitting it into a plant, much like I do right now. Carbide went belly up in 83 when they had the Bhopal incident, which you may or may not remember. It was a while ago, but they killed 4,000 Indians during a gas leak, and
No, I don't. I was
that
little.
destroyed the company.
Yeah.
So I was sold to Amoco, and Amoco was starting a carbon fiber composite business, and I became their technical guy, and eventually got a commercial position. And Amoco decided, nah, we're an oil company. We don't want to do this. So they fired everybody. And I found the job in the Naperville R&D site outside Chicago. I did biotech. We were making synthetic vitamin D for chickens. Fascinating project. Fascinating project. Did that for 3 years. And Amoco decided, nah, we're an oil company. We don't do biotech. So they fired everybody again. And I found a job down in Florida working for a small membrane company. Did that for 5 years. It was taken over by a big filtration company, and they managed to mess everything up pretty badly. So I left that, went to Delaware, worked for a small company in Delaware called Graver Technologies, doing filtration work. They had a big downsizing. I was lucky to find a new job up in Rochester, New York, doing chemical engineering work. They had another massive layoff. That was when I was 65 and a half.
Wow. So the moral of the story is you kept getting fired, but you got back on your feet every time.
The whole trick is, don't mope, get busy.
Yeah. So how did you navigate the beginnings of entrepreneurship? Just by networking? I read in your little portfolio that, you just needed your GPS, LinkedIn, but
It's very
still.
interesting. Like, I kind of backed into it. I lost my, like I said, lost my job in 2014. And I did not realize how much the job market had changed between 2006 and 2014. It seems like a small amount of time, but the thing had completely changed. It was all LinkedIn. It was all techniques I knew nothing about. It didn't exist that much in 2006. So I learned how to use LinkedIn, and Rochester had so many layoffs because of Kodak. Kodak had massive layoffs, that it had a very robust training module for people like me finding a new job. It was like a 3 month course, really very well organized. They taught you how to network. They taught you how to do LinkedIn. They taught you. So I couldn't find a new job, but I did use those techniques to begin my consulting business.
That's amazing.
It is. And engineers are not natural networkers. And especially if you're a corporate guy, you don't do that sort of stuff. Your boss gives you your job and you're happy. So I had to learn. And there was one guy in Rochester. He had like a how-to network. Now, he was an incredibly pompous guy. I mean, my God, he was arrogant. But he was very good at teaching how to do networking. So it's the case where you don't like the source, but you do like what he teaches. And I took it to heart, and I found out I like networking. I really like networking. I said, if someone paid me $100,000 a year to hang out in Starbucks, I think I'd do it. So I learned, and eventually I built my consulting business a little bit at a time, a little bit at a time. I increased my revenues 20, 30% every year. And now I'm pretty well established.
Congrats. A constant increase is amazing because, as you know, entrepreneurship goes up and down like a roller coaster.
I was very lucky. I always found some very interesting assignments, and COVID helped because suddenly everybody wanted to get in. They wanted, oh, we need a disinfectant. We need a disinfectant. Continue disinfectant. So I was happy to help them. It was
Sure.
like mass hysteria.
Did you just put them in the right direction or did you do much more than that?
I put them in the right direction. I don't have a lab, so I can't do any formulation. But I could help them with the FDA stuff. I could help them with how to, who to find to do the formulation. So I showed them the steps.
Interesting. I remember buying alcohol and forget, was it aloe or something to make sanitizer?
Yeah, alcohol and aloe basically is disinfectant.
I never finished because I think they scared us that it was going to be more or less like sold out, but then it never was. But I remember buying a lot of alcohol and aloe at
everybody,
the time.
Everybody hoarded.
Yes, they did. So
and the fascinating thing is I got a lot of calls from Middle Eastern companies who wanted to get in. And their basic question is, who do we have to bribe to be approved? It was the most amazing. I mean, talk about a difference in mentality.
Right.
So the American companies knew you have to go to FDA and you got to go through the process. The Middle Eastern company said, okay, who do you know that we can bribe and get this permission? And I said, that doesn't work that way here. I said, oh, come on. You must know somebody's cousin or somebody's uncle who can get us in. I said, it don't work that way here.
Interesting. So you have to have FDA approval to be able to sell?
Yeah, it's very strict.
Interesting. Yeah, because I knew people even at the time that just opened their own like drive-up COVID shot clinics. That was a thing for a while. And as long as you got a doctor on board, it was like you could do that, even though the business owners I knew it weren't doctors. But as long as there was one like registered, they were able to open this and open that. I mean, they were making a killing in a short period of time.
Yeah, it was the Wild West for about a year.
It was. But I'm glad you did well in COVID. I did pretty well in COVID as well, but it was like with mostly like tech companies or like I had Cinch for a while, which is like propane grills that they were delivering them to homes when everyone was cooking outside. And so, you know, that kept me alive. There were other interesting clients I had, but yeah, it's amazing that in times of like distress in COVID, there's some companies that do really, really well.
Well, I mean, the people who made the Lysol people, they basically cleaned up for about 2-3 years.
They're probably looking forward to another.
They couldn't make the stuff fast enough.
Same with pharmaceuticals, right? So, I mean, I'm sure a lot of these people wouldn't mind another pandemic, which I hope
yeah,
not.
Yeah, there's, you know, I remember when we had the big financial crisis, there was a bankruptcy lawyer who was a member of my synagogue. He was doing absolutely wonderful. He couldn't hire enough people to
wow.
process all the bankruptcy applications.
Unbelievable. Yeah, maybe then I wouldn't know. Maybe then they were able to be written off quicker or something compared to how it is in normal times.
Well, I think it was just volume. Just there's so many people got into trouble so fast because the economy basically collapsed.
It really did. Yeah, because I lost my restaurant clients then. I lost hair salon clients. I definitely lost at least three off the top of my head. Like anyone that was a restaurant, hair salon, retail. I forget there was another third industry. Gyms. Oh, I lost gyms because
yep.
they were closed. So I was like, oh my gosh, I'm losing clients fast. But then other clients picked up, like I said, in the tech industry. So entrepreneurship and the economy is definitely a roller coaster as well. So that makes me think like if there were another pandemic, or do you foresee anything with chemicals since that's your field, even in say war or anything like that?
It's you know, it's impossible to predict. Anybody who makes economic predictions now, either very stupid or really smart, one or the other, because there's so many unknowns and so many moving parts that for every economic condition you anticipate, there's one prominent economist to agree with you. So it's a matter of, are you pessimistic? Are you optimistic? I would say the next 6 months are going to be very unstable because there's so many things going on. And then it depends on what happens in November, you know, which direction the country goes.
Let's hope that there isn't something crazy that happens before the election or maybe after. I agree. It's definitely going to be an unstable time.
You know, all you can do is, you know, be alert and stockpile food.
Right? I know. I keep reading. I saw Zuckerberg is building like a $1 billion bunker in Hawaii. And I'm thinking, I think Oprah might have built a bunker too. And I remember being like, what do they know that we don't know?
Well, they got money.
That's true.
And I remember in the 1960s, 62, 63, there was tremendous fear that there's going to be a nuclear war with the Russians. And everybody who had money built a fallout shelter. It was almost funny. People building fallout shelters in their backyard, of course, there's always somebody willing to build one for you. And they didn't think things through. So, okay, you survived a nuclear attack. What are you going to come out into? I mean, it's not going to be your old neighborhood anymore.
Right. Yeah, it's so true. You never know what's going to happen. So I guess you got to think positive. And with that, how do you keep yourself, with the glasses full mentality? Because that's what you
Just
seem
got
like.
to keep busy. Got to keep busy. In 2023, things were not that great. And for some reason, lost a lot of clients and didn't get a lot of clients. And I said, well, this is not working out too well. But in the last 3, 4 months, picked up client after client. So you just don't know. You really don't know. Phone rings, you have a client.
Absolutely. I thought that was interesting in your write-up too, because I'm used to that. I mean, obviously I've had my business a long time. My first client was in 2009, while I still had a job before I was laid off. But all I'm saying is I've lost clients. I've had everything happen to me by now and then some. So it's but it's, I get it, because you have to be an entrepreneur to understand, like, the times can get scary. Like, there's been times where I'm like, oh my gosh, I need more clients, like, to replace this one or that one. And like you said, it ebb and flows, and you can get scared for a minute, but then all of a sudden it's like great. Like, right now it's great for me, just like it's great for you. But then there's the scary times too. But I guess that's the beauty of what we do, because we're always thinking ahead and how we can meet someone, or who are our target clients, or how can we better ourselves. And I think that that is something you and I appreciate, and anyone that lives without a net.
Yeah, I mean, the important thing is to keep yourself available, keep yourself active, and pick up the phone.
Yeah, people, the phone is a lost art. Most people just Zoom now, or text, or email, but not
I mean,
necessarily.
I go to the local Y here, and I was, working out. The phone rings. Usually, I let them go because, you're in the middle of something. It's kind of awkward, but the address wasn't familiar. So it's a guy saying, hey, I saw you on LinkedIn. I need you. Can you help me? I'm building a chemical plant. Turned out to be a very lucrative assignment. So you just never know.
So when they hire you for something like that, being what you do, are you telling them more of like the infrastructure, or helping them with process? What's
Basically, process. Infrastructure is a different skill. So I don't necessarily do the building, but I'll review their design and tell them if it makes sense. Make suggestions about how to do things better, provide background, do some costing, do some chemical analysis, whole range of different activities depending upon what they're looking for.
interesting. So, did you take all of your knowledge and then create your most recent podcast that launched in April? And is
Yeah.
that what you're talking about?
Yep. The podcast I have is like an 8-part podcast, and it describes different parts of the chemical industry and different parts of chemical engineering. So I'll discuss reaction engineering, separations, where the chemical industry has been, where it's going, different aspects of chemical engineering and the chemical industry.
And when you say the chemical industry, is it everything that's chemical, or more like corporate type chemicals, warfare type chemicals? Like, is it everything?
It's basically commercial chemical products.
Got it. Okay. And then
So
what was your background in college to get into that?
I was in high school and get to be, 16, 17, and, where are you going to be when you grow up? Blah, 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 blah. So I was good in most of my subjects. So I had, the range is pretty good. I could pretty much make a case for most things. And it was either going to be economics or the sciences. That was my choice, because I like both. And I realized economics didn't pay particularly well, but the sciences did. So the question is, okay, that's a big, broad field. And I found a book in my public or in school's library called So You Want to Be a Chemical Engineer. And I read about it, and I said, hey, this seems pretty neat. I think this is what I want to do. So I went to a small school in New York City called Cooper Union, which is free. There was no tuition, and got my bachelor's degree in 71, and then decided, well, to do anything really meaningful, you got to get a PhD, otherwise you're just doing scut work. So I was lucky I got into Princeton, did that for 5 years. Got out in 75 with my PhD in chemical engineering, and started my work career.
How did you go to college without tuition? Sorry to get off topic.
Cooper's a very, very small school. It was founded in 1859 by Peter Cooper, who was created the first American locomotive. And he basically endowed a school to educate working men. It started off as a night school for people who were working during the day and wanted to get educated during the night. And over the years, it started in 1859. Over the years, it evolved into engineering school and art school and architecture school, very small. And the deal was, if you got in, there was $100 a year fee, and that was it.
Wow.
So my education cost $400
Could you
plus
imagine if
books.
that existed today? Going to like I would
It
have been
almost it still does. They went through a very bad streak. They did some stupid things investment wise, and had to stop that because they
unbelievable.
simply couldn't afford it anymore. Now they're trying to get back to the same situation again, but I think they're going to have a lot harder time.
For sure. So then you moved from New York to New Jersey.
And then I took my job with Carbide in New Jersey. Then I went to Amoco in Connecticut, then was transferred to Atlanta. Then I left for Naperville and now to Chicago. Then went to Pensacola, Florida, to Delaware, to Rochester, New York, and back to Delaware.
So pretty local, New York, Delaware, Jersey. Did I miss a state?
Yeah, basically as far west as Chicago and as far south as Pensacola.
Awesome. You've had quite a life. Where do you see yourself going next?
Going to do the same thing I'm going to keep on doing until I get too old.
Well, you're young. I think it's keeping you young, and because you have
Well,
high
yeah, I
energy.
mean, I could never see it's no, the idea of retirement made sense when you were doing physical labor, when everyone did physical labor. And by the time you were 65, you were pretty much finished. I mean, I remember my grandparents, they were in the 60s, they were done.
Right.
They were
Most
done. I mean, they were old at 65.
You're
But
right.
if you're doing a desk job, like an engineer, you're not going to wear out unless, in fact, if you don't do anything, you will wear out.
Exactly. It keeps your brain going.
Where's your brain going? So I see no reason to retire, and I'm going to keep on doing as long as the health holds up.
Yeah, well, I think it's working for you. I think it's keeping you young and healthy and keeping you motivated. I adore seeing you at events. Everyone loves talking to you, so you're always a hit. So personality, I know you said engineers, and it's true. My oldest brother is an engineer. He's definitely an introvert. You're not compared to him, but you're right that most engineers are like that. And I think like you have both. You have like the
Well, you
smart
gotta learn. You gotta
sales skill.
learn. You can change your personality if there's enough incentive.
Yeah, you definitely learned. I didn't think you could. I did listen to a podcast on that last week where they said you can change your personality. Like you step into who you want to be and you can change it. But I
Yeah, I
never.
mean, basically, you say to yourself, "Who do I want to be? Who do I need to be?" And basically, transform yourself.
100%. I mean, I love that. And I think so many people would look up to you when listening to this because they probably have experienced a job loss or a friend that has a job loss, and at least that they can hear that you can get on your feet, you can create your own company, and you can start a successful business.
And so, and there's always now, I was very lucky. I mean, when I was laid off at 56, 57, a lot of people never find another job. Because again, industry wants to hire people in their late 40s at the oldest. But a lot of guys knew in Rochester were part of Kodak, and they got dumped out in the streets 55, 56. They had kids, they had mortgages, they had college, they were in serious shape. They had to work three, four jobs to make enough money to support themselves. I was very, very lucky.
Yeah, you were. You figured it out. I mean, you figured it out on your own, but you figured it out pretty quickly. So,
Well, but still think got to move fast.
yes. So, Joel, how can people find you?
A lot of them by word of mouth, a lot of them LinkedIn. LinkedIn, I think, is my go-to resource because people will say, "Hey, I was looking at LinkedIn. I found you. I think I need somebody with your skill set."
Okay, so anyone that's listening to this podcast can go to, is it Joel Sure Talk on LinkedIn or is it Dr. Joel Sure Talk?
It's the Joel Sure Talk.
Okay, perfect. And then do you want to let people know about the name of your podcast in case they can follow it and subscribe?
It's the chemical industry, and it's on YouTube.
Perfect. Well, I look forward to seeing it and following. And thank you again for your time. I really appreciate it. And I look forward to our continued conversations.
Very good. Hey, thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Yes, thanks for being on Live Without a Net.
Speak to you later. See you at the next meeting.
Well, that's it for now. Thanks everyone for joining us. Please reach out to me so I can feature you on my show. I do respond to everyone. You can find me on my Instagram at Jennifer Sherlock or my business Instagram at JennaCom. And check out our new website coming soon, livewithoutanet.com. Thanks again, and I look forward to taking risks with you.